KNBR presents.
Kick on the way by Akers. Line drive kick is going to get there. Hits the clock bar! And it is gone!
49ers All Access with the voice of the 49ers, Ted Robinson.
Off by Davis. 15, 10, cut back, 5, touchdown, 49ers!
Now your host, Murph and Mack.
Oh, yeah. Brought to us by Friedman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill, a trusted name in the Bay Area since 1922, and joining us on the Ring Central guest line. He must be exhilarated and exhausted. Ted, good morning. Are you exhilarated and exhausted?
Well, I am ready, guys, for my breakfast next week of hurricanes and beignets.
That was fantastic.
Don't you
I
think?
Love that.
I love that breakfast.
I said, when I heard that, Ted, I tweeted out, I said, hey, where's the party? Wherever Ted is. That's what I say.
Follow Ted. Don't you think beignets are a great chaser?
They are
indeed
fantastic. And you're right. Café du Monde in New Orleans, you stay up all night. Café du Monde is open all night. And you can get them at 3, 4, 5, 6 in the morning.
We're going to get a ride with Ted when he goes because they know you're going to know the right spots.
I got to say, guys, it was emotional at the end of the game a little bit yesterday, especially when I was able to see the television of the trophy presentation and to see the entire family up there and to see what it meant for Denise and John York and for Jed and the emotion in Jed's face and in the tears in his eyes everybody understands what has gone on here. The history doesn't need to be rehashed, but the family's been hit a lot and they've carried a lot, and for them to pull out. Actually, on the plane Friday, going to Atlanta, I was looking out the windows. We're flying over the facility. We flew right over the new stadium going up. And on the flight, I had a chance to say something to Jed. And I said, you know, 2 years ago, we were flying home from St. Louis. And you made a decision to remove Mike Singletary. And the team was basically in disarray. They had to make a decision on a new coach and a new quarterback, right? No one expected Alex was coming back after that year. And that was just 2 years ago, almost to the week. 2 years later, look where this team. And that was on Friday. And now going to the Super Bowl. It's a great turnaround, but more of a rebound story. And led by Trent Baalke and his staff with their great evaluation, Jim Harbaugh, who has been extraordinary, hiring a phenomenal staff. And guys, you know, yesterday when you're down 17-0, they were already partying. They were breaking out the Hurricanes in Atlanta yesterday, guys.
Man, oh man.
17-0, the way that team played in the first half.
Yeah.
And the 49ers don't, you know, it's everything that Jim has said about Colin Kaepernick. There was no panic. There was no chaos. And the 49ers just got back into the game by halftime. And then the defense, after getting torched in the first half, pitching a shutout. Who saw that coming?
Right. Yeah, that's what I want to spin off on, Ted, is the defense, in that we were all stunned that this unit that has defined the team the last couple of years was so, I mean, I don't want to use words that like seem shocking now, but flat, unprepared, on their heels.
They didn't seem very aggressive either. They weren't really on the attack in the first quarter.
How are you processing that whole first quarter when they were outgained? I think that was 200 to minus 2, I think, at one point in total yards. How are you and Eric processing that?
Well, I think the initial point we understood was an Atlanta. I was told this before the game by some Falcons folks. You know, their whole idea was to come out and get up early, and it was what the 49ers wanted to do to Green Bay last week: get ahead, make them play uphill, and that's what the Falcons did. That A+. I mean, clearly, I think. In fact, I had a chance to speak to Vic Fangio a little bit on the plane back, congratulating him, and then you know he just said, "Hey, in the first half, we were in the right calls for their plays." You know, basically, it was just a function of them executing at a ridiculously high level, and we on a couple didn't play, but I mean the touchdown to Julio Jones in the corner of the end zone, Terrell Brown can't cover that ball any better, and that's a perfect throw and an extraordinary catch by a guy who, you know, Julio Jones, who we saw for the first time yesterday in person, and wow, I get what Atlanta did now. You understand why they traded what they did to get that guy. I mean, he's exceptional. And so, yes, that was all the issue. Second half, Vic said, and I think he said it in the press after the game, but he said it on the flight, you know, we really didn't change very much. Just played better. And their offense, clearly, Ryan, didn't throw the ball with the same precision. And you think about what this 49er defense has done, and this is where I understand our culture today, and there'll be those that'll be still coming out and throwing rocks at the 49er defense. By the way, Kurt Warner did last night when I got home about 1 in the morning, and I put the NFL Network on, and Kurt Warner was kind of doing a big breakdown on how vulnerable the 49er defense was. And, well, they shut out Matt Ryan on his home field in the second half yesterday. They shut out Brady in the first half on his home field in Foxborough. Beat Aaron Rodgers twice. I mean, the defense, you know, has found a way to win games against the best quarterbacks in the league.
You sure do. Let's take a quick break right here, Ted, because I want to do a good long second stretch with you, and we still have to get to so many things. Frank Gore, Vernon Davis, Colin Kaepernick,
Jim Harbaugh,
John Harbaugh, Jack Harbaugh, all these topics.
How long's the break, Murph?
We need it. We need like a couple of bonus hours with you, Ted.
No, but if the break's 3 minutes, that's enough. I can go mix a hurricane, can I?
Yeah, I love it. The party is at Ted's place. You got time to make a hurricane. Okay. We'll come back. Mom. Yeah, the man who made that great call joins us every Monday at this time. Ted Robinson on the Ring Central guest line. And yeah, so Ted, now sipping the hurricane, back for another one here.
Getting the straw out of the way. Excuse me. Go ahead.
He enjoyed one during the break. You can start your second now, Ted.
Very, very good. Let's talk. I mean, so let's just start with the quarterback. And it's 17-0. And, you know, Colin Kaepernick's making his ninth NFL start. And what are you expecting from him, Ted? And then evaluate what you saw. Maybe you could pick out for us what of his performance impressed you the most.
Well, the biggest thing is no turnovers.
Yeah.
He did not turn the ball over on the road in a conference championship game. The only 49er turnover was the Michael Crabtree goal line fumble. The Atlanta Falcons, Mike Nolan, clearly yesterday was at the table. He pushed all his chips in on one hand, and that was Colin Kaepernick was not going to do to his defense what he did to Green Bay. And the Falcons took that completely away from the 49ers yesterday was Colin's runs. And the brilliance of an NFL, when you know you have a good scheme and you know you have good people and Jim Harbaugh and Greg Roman and Jeep Christ, is when, okay, something gets taken away, what do we get? And as a lot of us suspected last week, it was the tight end. Zach Miller had just crushed Atlanta the week before for Seattle. Vernon was able to run free yesterday, unlike most games where we've seen Vernon, right, the second half of the season. So Kaepernick finds Vernon, and then the other part that the 49ers, I thought, did extremely well, obviously, was the score in the first half to get back into the game, guys. But they went back to being themselves. They ran the ball. And running the ball kept the offense on the field, which kept the defense on the sideline after that tough first quarter, and established a rhythm. And it's funny because there was a lot about how well Kaepernick threw the ball on first and second downs. The 49ers were the best first down, or one of the best first down teams, actually, in the league this year on offense. The second or third, I think, overall in first down plays. The last eight, I think, first down plays of the game, the 49ers ran the ball yesterday.
Hmm.
And that was the point, was they used Kaepernick to throw the ball earlier in the game to get back. But when the game got to crunch time, they ran the ball.
Yep.
And in the entire second half, the 49ers had 14 first down plays. They ran 11 of them. Kaepernick threw three, completed them all for 70 yards, which gives you an idea why Kaepernick, what his value has been. Not just throwing, but throwing down the field.
Right? Yeah, and talking about this running game, you guys, I mean, I think we obviously have to talk about Frank Gore and talk about giving the defense a lift when they needed it. There are the Niners really in the second quarter. They're down 17-0, and they went on that great 80-yard drive. And Frank Gore was huge on that drive carrying the ball. I mean, it's just so entirely appropriate. And how fitting is it, Ted, that he played such a critical role in that victory? He scores two touchdowns in the game. I mean, he couldn't have had a better game for a better guy yesterday.
That's great, Paulie, because that again was something else. What the 49ers were given, they were given Frank Gore, believe it or not, right? How many years have we watched teams take Frank Gore away? Well, yesterday when Mike Nolan's setup was to take Colin out of the game, Frank Gore was in the game. And the nice part to me, the way the 49ers used Frank Gore this year, was they backed off his workload just enough. Just enough. Now, remember last year we said Frank had the second most carries of any year in his career last season. Well, this year they backed off that just enough so that he's had some life in the last 2 weeks. I used the word fresh with Jim Harbaugh the other day. I thought he was going to reach over and strangle me. he looks fresh. And no, Jim hates that word. There is no fresh in football, he said.
Yeah.
But Frank looked like he had a little life. And that's critical. And I got to tell you something, guys. LaMichael James has been one of the real nice late season stories for this team because he has given them just enough of what Kendall Hunter had brought. Right, he's just enough of a changeup. And yesterday you saw it when the 49ers wanted to run outside, use speed. They had LaMichael in the game and gave him the ball to run the ball outside. Let Frank bang away as his specialty is between the tackles. And, yes, the physical superiority that we thought the 49ers would have on the O-line did take its toll on the game in the second half.
60 minutes is a beautiful thing, you know, not 15, not 30, gotta not 45, 60. Yeah. And Matt Ryan knows that because he played 30 and didn't play the next 30. I want to get back to that to the defense for a sec, Ted, and talk about that last drive. Because here we go, you know, this is Matt Ryan's moment. You know, he did it against Seattle. Granted, he only needed to get to a field goal range and it only took a couple of passes, but here's a guy, you know, considered one of the great quarterbacks in the game and a lot of weapons, and he's at home, and he's driving down the field. And just as that drive unfolded, what you and Eric were seeing in the booth, and then the way they stopped him, you know, the two huge plays, right? The Ahmad Brooks going Dikembe Mutombo and swatting the third down pass down, and then Bowman on the fourth down play. Just how you saw those plays unfold and what you were thinking as they got that close.
Well, the first thing I was thinking was I was going to send Terry McCauley, the referee, a text because I actually got to know him a little bit last year. And I was going to text him about because I go back to the Supreme Court Justice Stewart. I know a catch when I see a catch, okay?
Yeah.
That's still not a catch. All right? I'm going to watch that 50 times, and 50 times it is not a catch, okay? Now, how they ruled that after review a catch, I don't understand.
Well, the problem was, Ted, was that they ruled it a catch on the field.
Yes, right.
That was the problem, because then they have that language about you have to have indisputable.
Well, they said they had control with the left hand the entire time, that he was kind of tumbling around.
Well, I think so. The baseline of them calling it a catch on the field screwed them on the replay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we've got some vacation properties we'd like to sell them to. Control with the left hand. The ball's all over the place. Yeah. Anyway. Okay. So that was a potentially significant blow to the 49ers because that was about a 22 yard play, a chunk play. Now that gets Atlanta close to the red zone. What concerned me about that drive was, and I'm guessing, because I obviously am not privy to Atlanta's locker room after the game, but I'm guessing that was done on purpose by Dirk Cutter, their offensive coordinator. All right, they're not letting us go over the top. We're just going to chunk the ball down the field and dry up the clock. Because by that time, Atlanta had probably lost a lot of faith in its defense's ability to stop the 49ers. So my concern was they're going to go down the field. They're going down the field. And if they get all the way, the 49ers are not going to have a lot of time left. And that's where I started questioning with Eric, does Jim Harbaugh, once we got inside 2 minutes, does Jim start using timeouts? And as it turned out, Eric actually had a great take on it. He said, look, this is what the 49ers are. If you want your championship fate determined, you want your defense out there doing it. And that's what happened. And, you know, the 49ers didn't hit Ryan a lot early in the game. They did hit him a little bit later in the game. And, of course, there was the big hit that, again, I found out on the plane flight home, I didn't realize Ryan had his left shoulder banged up pretty good on that one hit. Watching some of the SportsCenter stuff on the flight home, I saw that. And then the fourth down play, if I understand the math right, you can hit a guy within 5 yards of the line of scrimmage, right?
Right, right.
The line of scrimmage was the 10.
Right.
Roddy White was at the 6.
Yep.
So I heard some of the pundits on TV screaming that was illegal contact. Well, if I do my math, 10 minus 6 is 4. So that contact is legal by the rules, in my understanding.
The Notre Dame education comes in handy.
Yeah,
I like it.
Well,
and you're right. And Bowman was smart enough to know that he was within that realm. And, you know, and I said Kevin Lynch came on with Kruger and Rich Wolkoff in the post game. And you know this. Maybe you can sort of enhance this for us. That Kevin was saying in his talks with 49ers personnel evaluators, that personnel department, they think Navarro Bowman's one of the two best players on the team. He didn't say who the other one was. I don't know if it's Willis or you know, Kaepernick or whoever, or Vernon Davis, but they think that highly of Bowman, and he's a guy who fans don't talk about that much.
Yes, I don't know about that judgment, that assessment. I would leave that one be. I would tell you that last season, Navarro Bowman, if I were going to rank them, Navarro Bowman played better than Patrick Willis in 2011. Now that's both. They're both at the top, okay. But I'm just saying, last year, this year, I don't know that there was that pronounced a difference between the two. But I'll tell you this, there's no way that there's a team in the league that has a in a 3-4 set has a better pair of inside linebackers than these two, and the 49ers' commitment was clear, guys. They signed Bowman to a contract this year.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's a lot, and we talked on the pregame show yesterday with Parag Marate about that. I mean, that's an incredible commitment by a team to invest a chunk of your cap in one position, but that's how highly you think of these two guys that are going to be the anchors of this defense for a long time.
Yep. A couple more thoughts, Ted, with Ted Robinson here, reliving this incredible moment in 49ers history under
and
their
sixth
Hurricanes. Super Bowl
hand. And we're mixing up a morning batch. Yeah.
The only dark cloud from the whole thing is the kicker, David Akers. And I don't know, gosh, I don't know what you do.
Well, so far
point,
they're getting,
you know,
away with it, right, Ted? But you got to wonder, will that bite them at
yes.
some point?
Yeah, and that's both guys, that's a fair question. And by the way, I thought yesterday the special teams was terrific, except for one kick. Akers' kickoffs were all touchbacks. There was mm-hmm. never a kick return.
That matters.
Andy Lee punted. The punt cover team has absolutely shined this year, and mm-hmm. no greater example than the final punt, when you know that if Atlanta can get the ball back to midfield, they have a chance to throw a Hail Mary. And Tremaine Brock, the left side gunner, just hammers down the field and drops Harry Douglas, the punt returner, in his spot. Yes, the field goal kick, I mean, it just changes everything. It changes Jim Harbaugh's thinking about game strategies, where you're in four-down territory. And it also highlights, again, yesterday we saw the difference. And I've got numbers that I've pulled out that I won't bore fans with now, but maybe next week we'll do it. The difference in this team with Kaepernick at quarterback, the number of red zone trips, the number of big pass plays, and it all leads to the number of touchdowns. And that's what Kaepernick has turned this offense into, a touchdown offense.
Wow.
And that's the one saving grace in all of this, right? When your field goal kicker is scuffling the way Akers is.
Wow, well said, and a great point. Listen, I'm not trying to gloat or anything. I've been with Cap since day one. The Bears game to me was so stunning, and the talent was so obvious. I was like, oh my God, there's no turning back. And that's not a knock on Alex Smith. Alex Smith is good. This guy is better, and he's more electric, and he's more dynamic, and I saw Harbaugh's reasoning all along, and I'm so excited to watch this kid play. So let's throw out some of these stats. Listen to this, Ted. He will become the sixth youngest quarterback to start a Super Bowl in the history. He'll have the third fewest starts mm-hmm. in the history, and the only other two were Jeff Hostetler, who was replacing an injured Phil Sims, and Vince Ferragamo, who was replacing Pat Hayden. But this kid is the future. And as Scott Osler said, this game easily fits within the top 10 starts of Kaepernick's career. That's what he said.
The championship game, you know, the top 10.
Because
yeah,
he's only
good.
Played
that's
nine. That's typical
good.
Osler, right?
That's good,
I mean,
Scott.
So,
that's good, yeah.
I mean, Ted, just to kind of sit back and behold that move by Harbaugh, and even Vernon Davis, though, said in the locker room, initially, they weren't all on board. So, I mean, it was a huge move. It was a franchise-changing move.
And they're in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Bada bing.
Well, you look. I showed some of the 49er people. Just these are basic numbers. I don't dive too deeply into some of the stuff you'll get on some of the other blogs where there's deep seated metric stuff. But just red zone trips, okay? In the first eight games of the season, the 49ers had three games out of the eight where they had four or more trips in the red zone.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay. I'm writing these down. Yes.
In the nine games that Colin Kaepernick has started, the 49ers have had four plus red zone trips, eight of the nine games.
Wow.
I mean, I'm just saying small things like that.
Yeah.
That are going to lead to points. The number of 25-yard plus pass plays has been doubled with Kaepernick as the starting quarterback, and these are the reasons why that the change was made for injury. Why it stayed is because of those things. Because this and the simplest way I think for fans to try to relate to it, I believe, is it's touchdowns. It's not four field goals in a game any longer. It's touchdowns.
Touchdowns are good. I think, Ted, you can appreciate this as a man. I've heard Ted say that he has the 1978 Bruce at Winterland disc. Don't you have that in your car at all times or something like that?
In fact, I'm just leaning over. I can look at it on my shelf right now. I'm serious.
Yeah.
Well, the reason I'm bringing it up is because obviously Pauly treats Bruce like the deity he is. And I guess we can all say Harbaugh said the change was made uptown and the big man joined the band, right?
Okay. The big kid joined the band.
Yeah. Well, and look at this. You know, we all focus, guys, on colleges, right, in these big college programs and quarterback use. We have one in our backyard, we think, at Stanford, right? And the Super Bowl quarterbacks are from the University of Nevada and via the University of Pittsburgh, University of Delaware.
Great incredible. Call.
Incredible. How about
great
that?
Call.
Nevada
incredible.
And Delaware.
In the house. Hey.
There you go.
That's amazing. It really is.
And by the way, the guy from Delaware, Ted, he looked really good yesterday, too. He made some amazing throws again yesterday.
And you know the Walt Harris? Remember Walt Harris?
Sure.
His tenure
yeah.
at Stanford. You know, Walt Harris was the coach at Pittsburgh that recruited Joe Flacco. And Joe Flacco was beaten out. Walt Harris chose a guy named Tyler Palko to quarterback.
Remember
and Tyler
that, yeah.
Palko had a very brief stint in Kansas City. He chose Tyler Palko over Joe Flacco, which is why Flacco then transferred and went to Delaware. Yeah, how'd that work out?
Wow. You know, and it's funny. Eric Branch does a great job at the Chronicle, wrote a really good story in their special section about Harbaugh's evaluation skills. And this is what Bill Walsh had, evaluation
yes.
skills. And this goes back to him taking Josh Johnson out of Oakland Tech and bringing him to San Diego when nobody had heard of the kid. And this goes back to him. Don't forget, in addition to recruiting Luck, he went after Robert Griffin really hard when he wasn't really necessarily going to be a quarterback. He recruited Kevin Hogan to Stanford, and then he's the one who made the big move for Kaepernick. So you think this guy has an eye or what?
Well, and you know, it's a great point you raise, Murph, because it's very easy, and there are people in our business that are guilty of being trapped in the memory of the great Walsh. Bill, you know, Bill was part of Jim's hiring at Stanford, and before Bill passed, Jim spent a lot of time. You know, that's one of Jim Harbaugh's great strengths is his ability to, he grew up a coach. My gosh, Jim, you know, Jim was basically a coach out of the womb growing up with his dad. But he taps into these great minds that he's had the exposure to, and he did that with Bill Walsh. And so I'll always believe that had something to do with some of what you just outlined. And, you know, another big picture thing last night, another coach just chatting with on the plane a little bit and made the point of, you know, you look at this core group of players, you know, the guys that everybody feels good for, the Justin Smiths and Frank Gores and Patrick Willis's and Vernon's and Joe Staley's, guys who had been through a lot of bad times here team-wise and now are reaping these benefits, and you get a sense of, you know, what some good leadership and guidance does for them, right? And how quickly this thing has turned from 8 straight non-winning seasons now to consecutive conference championship games and finally a Super Bowl. I mean, that's a pretty good statement about Jed York getting the right team in place with Trent Baalke as the GM and the evaluator, and Jim as the coach, and Jim's handpicking a fabulous staff. And I'll tell you what, guys, I still don't understand how Greg Roman didn't get a job. And
he's not
the only one. There's other great valued coaches on that staff. But for a staff that's done this well 2 seasons in a row now, to not have somebody get a job, whether it was Greg or Brad Seeley or Vic, that's pretty hard to believe.
Yeah, right. Incredible. All right, Ted, let's let it only the beginning.
Great hearing you, Ted. Awesome.
Sip that hurricane. Let's chat frequently and see you in New Orleans, my friend.
Man, is that February football? Gosh, that sounds good.
Here we go.
February football.
Yep.
There's only 2 teams left, and one of them you call. So
I like that, guys. This is going to take us right to pitchers and catchers. How good is that going
to
be?
Right to where, as Lee Hammer would say, right to FanFest, Ted. That's what he would say. Right, there you go. All right, great
Cheers,
job, Ted.
Thanks.
Great calls. We've been playing them all morning, and in fact, we're going to play them again next. So enjoy the day, all right?
All right, guys, thanks.
Ted Robinson.